8:45 on the clock. Let's call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors regular meeting, Wednesday, February 5th. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation. Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Byer, Setzer. Next on the agenda is the consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approval of minutes held from the meeting of January 22nd, 2014, approval of all claims through February 5th, in the amount of $484,812.74. Approval and place on file all correspondence received. Approve canceling check 131101091 issued to Walmart in the amount of $516.58. Check 131201069 issued to the detention petty cash in the amount of $10. And check 140100090 to Michelle Ochtemeyer in the amount of $44.04. Approve specifications and call for bids on spring rock and gravel. Bids to be open March 5th, 2014 at 9:15 a.m. Approve utility permit 980 to Mike Bauman to trench an underground electric line located in the part of northeast quarter of Section 5, Township 4, North, Range 6 East, Midland Township, and in part of the southwest quarter of Section 32, Township 5 North, Range 6 East, Holt Township. Approved utility permit 981, Windstream Nebraska, Inc. to plow and backhoe a new underground communication line located in part of Section 8, Township 5 North, Range 7 East, and in part of Section 17, Township 5 North, Range 7 East, in Hanover Township. Approved utility permit 982, Windstream Nebraska, Inc. to plow and backhoe a new underground communications line located in part of sections 33 and 34, Township 1 North, Range 8 East, Liberty Township. Approved utility permit 983, Windstream, Nebraska, Inc., to plow and backhoe a new underground communications line located in part of sections 23, Township 1 North, Range 7 East, Barnston Township. And approved district court summary fee forecast report for the month of January 2014. Need a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented or consider something separate?
I would move.
Well, Matt?
Yes, sir.
I would like to have claim number 140200097 in the amount of $477.18 to Johnny's Welding voted on separately, please.
Okay. So we'll pull said claim by Supervisor Juergens. And so the motion to accept the consent agenda with the exclusion of that one.
Second.
Seconded by Gary. Any further discussion? Vote. Now we will consider claim number 140209747 in the amount of $477.18 to Johnny's Welding. Need a motion to approve.
I would move be approved.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Discussion. Vote. Six in favor. Juergens abstains for reasons stated. All right. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Look like everybody here has got something else to discuss. At 9 o'clock, we had a timed event, Veterans Honor, and we will reschedule that to the next meeting. Don told me they won't get out here, so we'll have a couple back-to-back, so we'll move that forward. If any more public shows up, we'll bounce back to public comments. Committee reports, building and grounds, jump right in.
We had some pretty good discussion about what we're going to be doing in the near future relative to improvements and expenditures. As far as building and grounds are concerned, we really don't have anything that is an absolute necessity at this point. And so we will just kind of be putting things on the back burner unless they have real urgency and things that just have to be done right now. So really, basically, we're not going to be doing a whole lot unless it's absolutely necessary here in the near future. We'll do the upkeep, you know, desks in people's offices and things like that will be taken care of, but the county attorney isn't even smiling on that. But anyway, that's all for building and grounds.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Equalization, a couple months, that'll be full.
Yeah.
Finance and insurance?
Amber ended up coming down Monday. We'd kind of set a meeting up with yesterday for insurance, and then due to the weather, we just postponed it, and I think we're going to have it. We picked another date again.
That'll be sometime in the first part of March. She didn't send a date.
Okay, we'll pick a date. I think insurance, more than anything from an insurance perspective, starting to get some understanding maybe how the Obamacare is going to affect us. And I think I visited with Amber a little bit while she was in Don's office and said, I think we need to really have more than one or two meetings this year. We'll probably have to have more to get a better handle on how it's going to really affect the county and if there's something we're going to need to change and or not, or if we're all good with that or whatever. Finance part of it, Matt and I visited a little bit, and he asked Don to come up with the amount, the trial that had gone on in Lincoln and that. And up to this point, we had spent $719,000 as a county on the so-called Beatrice 6 in attorney fees. And then we do have another claim for the next one coming in of $40,000 more. So we're going to be over $750,000. Here in 2 weeks, that the county will have incurred as cost of attorneys and other legal fees for that case or whatever. So,
and these are cumulative costs since
these are cumulative
since we started in 2009.
Yeah. And I think that's something that some of us have visited about. That's just something that. We felt the people of Gage County need to be aware of also and stuff. So I
know the radio show last week, Doug had asked me, I said, well, we budget a couple hundred thousand every year. And I said, it's easy, 700,000. And then I got out of the meeting or that show and I called Dawn. I said, why don't you pull those numbers together? And I was pretty.
And I know this year we've had some pretty big claims because of the trial and preparation work for the trial. You know, we budgeted always so much for this the last few years, and we knew that this year would be more expensive than some of the others just because of what was going to go on. And then they had the trial go a little longer, and then the jury was a little longer and everything, and now we're back with a mistrial. So other than that, on finance, I need to talk to Roger again about his desk and stuff. We sent a note out. Don's going to send the note out to everybody, and everybody else has it too. Just as a reminder, we need the original copies of the receipts when they come into finance. This is kind of a reminder so that some of these in the future we may just send them back to you. We've had a few that come in that way, and that is a board policy, so we're. Everybody should get a letter and that's all it is a friendly reminder, so that sometimes we are a little lax, and then hopefully this get people to follow through and do the original receipts. So,
and Myron, maybe who squeezes us from time to time for original receipts?
Who does? As in, you mean? Oh, the auditor. Yes,
the auditor.
When they, thank you, Matt. When they were down there a year or 2 years ago, that was one of the. Guidelines are one of the things that they put in there, and they kind of wrote about was that I guess there's been some situations where some people have turned in some copies of receipts, and then so many over a period of time later they'll turn in the original. The state auditor office has uncovered those. So that is why we're doing that, so that if you turn in the original, we'll never take the copy of it, so then you don't have to worry about we don't know of anything like that going on here, but that's why the auditor tells you about some of those things to be aware of them and stuff. So
it needs to be very detailed and specific, so there's no question when it comes to Finance Committee what it's for and that it's legitimate.
Right.
Thank you.
So that's all.
Law enforcement? Oh, I'm sorry. Human resource.
I need to get together with you guys and set up a meeting to go over the handbook so that we can get it presented and approved here. So I'll talk to you after the meeting today. Otherwise, no report.
Law enforcement, Gary.
I'll let Myron go.
Gus did have a dollar amount there for us. The seed task force was no longer funded by the state or whatever, so that the county got back the county got back a little over $3,000. So the city or whatever, that's what was left in that fund or whatever. So there's no longer a seed task force. Deputy Brake will be graduating from the training academy on the 21st of the month. So then he'll be available for duty. And they'll soon start interview process for special services corporal position regarding the courthouse security. And then I think the other thing is, I think Mark's going to be at the training too, March 3rd. Gus said he'll be at training March 3rd, March 17th. So there'll be, and you will too, Mark. So there'll be no law enforcement in March, March 3rd, March 17th. Those mornings they have training lined up and stuff. So we can sleep in a little later. Some of us can.
Or we can meet without them.
Or we can meet, yeah, that's true too. We can meet without them. Yeah. There might be, yeah, on the communications then. And maybe, Mark wants to come up and update us. We did have a meeting with Bruce Lang and some of the people down at the city about our communications and the statewide system, and maybe Mark wants to update what we had with that. And they're going to come the guy from the statewide system is coming down, I believe, today to look at the...
Tomorrow
to look at the communications center to see what is all there and what would need to be added or should be or what is all of that. And then Bruce is going to go through them with that. And then we'll have another meeting again. So, go ahead.
We had the meeting with Chief Lang, talked about how the communications center would be involved. I think we come up with a couple different options that are pretty valuable to be continuing to look into. One is that they can buy approximately $10,000 to $18,000 worth of equipment. The Sheriff's Department can move on with the system, start utilizing the system, and then later on the city would come on board. The other thing was is Chief would want to know what the total figure is if they come on board at the same time as we did. So that's what we're meeting for tomorrow. Motorola reps are going to be there. This Mike Jeffries from the state radio system representative will be there and get a better quote or get a better figure to provide a quote to the city of what that would cost. Chief Lang is not, he's pretty open about what we want to do, I think, actually, and knows we need to do something pretty soon. And so that's what we're kind of looking at right now. The city is around a 2-year budget cycle, so it's very difficult. He does not know if they're going to be able to do this for a 2-year period, and I don't want to see us wait that long. So hopefully we can figure out something in between now and then.
Bruce said nothing like this have been budgeted for the city. For what their cost could be, and the fact is that they've just started into their beginning of the 2-year budget. Yeah. So it's not like our county yet, where we're still doing it every year. He said they would have to adjust the budget, or there's different things, but he just brought that up so that we were aware of it.
And then I think, he's aware that his part of the he made it perfectly clear that he knows that his part of that. The communications center, whatever it would take for us to communicate with them, he's responsible for that amount of money. So there is some things we still can, like I said, we'll meet tomorrow. And then the state also wants to go do a site visit at the tower in Blue Springs tomorrow while they're down here, a second visit. They did a first visit, now they want to come back and do a second visit and do a little more accurate readings on some things. So.
I'm up there?
No. Yeah. Yeah, so that's where we're at on most of that. So we continue to meet regularly, and we'll continue to update the board as we get information. So
from time to time, if we have it on the agenda and there's really not anything new, it's not that there aren't meetings taking place. We just we'll try to put more meat and potatoes in it when they come, and so we've got a lot to talk about. So
I think Jeffrey's pretty much gave the same presentation to the city as what he did up here again.
He gave a little bit depth to it.
Right.
Because I learned a few things.
More technical.
More technical parts to
it,
yes.
Yeah.
That because I was at that meeting and go, oh, I didn't realize that. Or I mean, there were some more things that, and here he wasn't going to do that. But down there, you know, you had Brian Dakin, Oliver, and Bruce Lang. And then
we had about a two-hour meeting, I think.
We had a two-hour meeting. Then the guy from the Homestead, because they're already, the Homestead out here is already on the statewide system, which wasn't aware of, you know, and stuff. So it was.
And they don't have any cost to it. Federal agencies don't have any cost to the system. So they have the equipment. They're actually not utilized. They're not. They could go on tomorrow. He just has to have his radio reprogram. So they have the system there ready to go on. So they're already ready to go, which is important because the 911 center also dispatches the Homestead. So they also provide the Homestead pays them a monthly fee or a yearly fee also to provide that system. So.
Then the only other thing is you spent most of your time at our meeting Monday talking about the training, all the training that's coming up for you and emergency management, and I know the sheriff, too. They'll be on some of that. NERMA has some training, and then
we have training set up for February 11th, I think it is, here for the county employees, safety training. And then pretty much the month of March, we have some grant money to use up that Chief Dakey wasn't able to spend on some other training that and our region had some money to spend. So for the month of March, we have training every week, pretty much. So on that training on the 3rd and the 17th is NIMS training 300. 17th is a 400. The 300 is 4 days. 17th is 3 days. Then on the 24th, we have a position-specific operations class also opened up that'll be there. And so it's same thing as we do every year, pretty much March, April. Emergency managers spend a lot of time in training, and as well as first responders for the severe weather comes up and such. So,
and then update a little bit on the safe room grants, because you're having a
There's a lot of questions on the safe room grants.
Yeah,
we're the question latest question is sales tax. So we're working that out with the state to make sure. What we're asking for is the grant to cover that price of sales tax, because the amount of money that's available, a lot of the shelters that people have chosen to use or are going to choose to use are less than what the money is there. So there'll be more money available, so they're hoping that they'll pay for the sales tax on that portion of it. But there is none have been built so far, but they came down last week. One company did and toured all the grant app. People have received the grant, and he actually come back and told me he'd sold 5 or 6 for that. So there should be some going in here within the next 3 or 4 weeks. So we'll get that paper and get the NRD. Also, I'm up here. We're just got the notification yesterday. Friday, we actually are going to have a kickoff meeting. We restart the whole hazards mitigation planning process again. If we remember, that's quite a lengthy process. So we're having a meeting over in Strang. The NRD over in that area, and our NRD is actually the two NRDs are together on the hazardous mitigation plan as far as Gage County, as well as Gage County, Jefferson County, Saline County, and I think Fillmore County. Can't remember. Their county. A couple of those counties, partial part of those counties are in that NRD district. So we'll be starting that plan again, go out and visit into all the villages. I think Matt remembers some of the meetings we had, quite intense to get that all done. Beatrice just completed. We just went through a process with theirs, so we just completed theirs. They don't have the final draft done yet, but
it's right there. Will that be Olson Associates? Last time, that's who did that. Is that?
Yeah. I think they're going to hire them again to do that.
They had a meeting down at Wymore, and there was a lot of paperwork to be filled out, and you had to attend certain meetings. Yeah. And it actually took quite a bit of time for Mark because each entity needed to turn in something.
Yes.
They would get nothing.
Yes. Yeah, if they ever had any type of mitigation work after a disaster, that entity would not be allowed that fund. So.
And some of that, I think it became somewhat convoluted and it became difficult to understand, I think, because it was such a huge project.
Well, Gage County has townships, so we not only do all the villages and cities have to participate, but I have to make sure all the townships participate, too. So it's important to get a representative from each township to every one of those meetings, too. So you end up going out visiting with them at their try to get them to sign the paperwork and such. So that's going to be a pretty lengthy process again. It'll take us almost a year to get that plan completed again.
Then the last thing, you and Patty had a meeting with GIS with our of maybe starting the process. You know, we have all of our properties on the web or whatever on Patty's thing, and now they're looking at getting it the addresses too. Or how, you explain it.
Well, in the past, we've always the process of the 911 addressing is
the blue,
done.
The blue signs you see out
there. It's actually rural addressing. Everybody just calls it 911 address because that's what most people use it for. But the process in the past is they would fill out a permit at the highway department. That permit would be sent up to me. I'd go out and GPS that site, go to the 911 center, make it an address, take it back, fax it down to the highway department, and then they would mail it out to appropriate people that had to have that, including the person that requested it. And then the highway department would go back and put the sign up. There's been a hasn't been a process completed that actually documents that. And what we're finding is that it's important for the assessor's office to have that address also. So we're looking at joining in with GIS Workshop, who does all of Patty's processes and maps and things. Marcus Tews and GIS Workshop. We're already a customer of theirs. They're already our vendor, one of our vendors for this process for several years. And we're working on a process with them. They're going to be providing a quote to help assist in that 911 process. And then the permit would be done at Patty's office and between my office and Patty's office. And then they would build a Excel spreadsheet along with that address would get entered into the to the system immediately instead of a longer. Sometimes it's a year before it gets entered into Patty's process. And so that'll get entered in quicker. And then I also visited with them and visited with Don that there's a process too that we spend time with Becky has the voting map districts, which is very important to make sure those are correct. And so we do a lot of verification for those addresses too. So there is a portion of this also that Dawn could come on board for the election maps too. Did she call you by chance? Yeah. Okay. So we're in that process of looking at utilizing the system Patty has. We very much underutilize that system. Of course, there's a cost to utilize more of it, but I don't think it's too big of a cost compared to having to hire someone to do that out of my office. So the other thing is that we'd be able to create set maps on the go. We'd be able to create it'll be a tab on the website to where a fire district, if we gave them the proper ID pass to go in, and if they want to print a copy of their fire district maps, if they want to do 100 of them, they can print 100 of them or whatever. Right now, the way they get maps of their fire district is I take my map off the wall and I lay it on the copy machine and I run them a copy and I give it to them. And so this would just be point and click in the computer. And there'd be several layers. We can create different layers of if we want to put the trails on there, if we want to put just a layer of lakes, of cell phone towers. There's a layer in there we can build for cell phone towers, several different things. So that's what we're working on also with them. I think had a conference call with them yesterday, and then we're going to meet one more time, and then they'll have a quote for us how much it'll cost.
You know, we've had some discussion at some of our committees, I know in the past, about the addressing and making sure that the county has the appropriate records of all of that, and this would effectively, that's what our record would be, I guess. Yes. We'll be able to use this as our record, and it'll be updated quicker, better. And I know between some of the departments, you know, people, when they build a new house or something, they need an address for their loans, for building, for all of that. This would hopefully help speed that up and everything too and stuff. So
we get quite a few requests for verification of addresses. Mm-hmm. What this would allow is a title company to go in, that we get a lot of requests from title companies. We could give them access to this, and they could go in and themselves click on that tab, verify the address, print it, and put it in their file. And that would leave us out having to look that information up. And it'd be more accurate in case, you know, for liability purposes, accuracy is very important on a lot of this stuff. So, especially with the voting, so we ventured into with them. We tried this about 10 years ago. We had GeoCom, and that's what the 911 center uses right now. we wouldn't be replacing that system at all. This is just be our side of the system that we used. So.
All right. Any more questions, comments?
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Juergens.
Yes, Matt. A few of these items in discussion are coming up later on our agenda. Basically, so I'll leave a few of these off. Mark Minnelli's here today and will present us with the 1 and 6 year highway plan. As we've heard before, the Township Association meeting is going to be held February 27th at 7 o'clock at the Extension office. Philly North Project, discussion about that. Norris is, weather permitting, of course, will be ready to move poles, and the plans are, as of right now, the road will be closed at the end of April or the start of May for that bridge project and the road straightening out in the curves. Galen's met with Dan from Top Coat, as we approved in the last meeting, on this armor coating. They drove the miles that were out there that they needed to armor coat, and the additional miles that we approved will be done at the same bid price as what we originally accepted. Signed bids will be opened here in just a few minutes. There'll be more discussion on that. And I don't know if everybody got, but Galen has a detailed notes. At last year's Township Association meeting, we told the township members if there's a bridge area in their township of concern, that you know, bring it up to Galen and he would check it out. Well, there were 9 pages of concerns. So Galen has then went out, taken pictures, and has made notes on every bridge that was turned in. So in discussion with Mark and there, some of these were probably warranted and some weren't. You know, some of them are very good bridges, just a little narrow. And so we'll have to live with that for a while. But structurally, they're sound. So, but like I say, it's a very, and well, everybody knows Galen's a bridge guy, so he did an excellent job on this. That's about it, I believe, until we got a lot more items coming up, you know, further in the meeting.
All right. Just a little bit less than 2 minutes, and we're going to jump into opening our signed bids here. We'll just kind of, and then there's some construction.
Matt, before we
go ahead.
Can I speak just
please
a little bit on
the
that?
Time, please.
This leading into this sign that we're going to be opening, that these bids we're going to be opening up. This is the result of a study that was done in the fall of 2012, nighttime study. That's the one we chose to use. And, of course, we found these deficiencies in these signs at that time. The signs weren't budgeted, so they were budgeted in this year's budget. The quantity of signs that were identified that were opening up bids today on, there was 1,597 signs that were deficient that had to be replaced. Total signs, I mean, this is just interesting to me. I'll tell everybody so you know. Total signs in the north half of Gage County, 2,458 signs were responsible for. Total signs in the south half of Gage County, there's 2,548. So about the same number of signs when you split the county about in half. So that gives us a total of 5,006 signs. And out of that, we were replacing 1,597 of them that were deemed deficient. So approximately 32% of the signs will have to be replaced with this coming up. This is a federal mandate. We're required to do it. In this year's budget, we budgeted $40,000 for the signs. So we'll see how we come out. And a total of post-budgeted was $20,000. There was a total of $60,000 budgeted in this year's budget for this upcoming project. So that's why we're here and where we're at.
All
You're good. That was a perfect lead-in. It is 9:15, and I need a motion to close accepting all bids for signs.
So move.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. Vote. 7-0. And then that
That's
way.
Good.
Matt, everybody, I think Deb's given everybody kind of a tabulation sheet on the signs, the quantities that were requested, and everything else. So I won't hopefully have to go through everyone individually. I hope there's a total at the end that's the number I'll read. Think I'm not lucky on the first one. Unless I'm missing here, I'd like to just defer this to Deb. Maybe they could total these up because I'll have to go through all of these. It'll be Christmas before I'm done. Unless I'm missing it there, do you see a
total tabulation
on these someplace?
Sure.
Here's all the ones individually. Well, that's 5% of the bid. That's the bid bond. There's not a total on this particular one.
Our clerk has a calculator here.
Shall we do that?
Okay.
Could you do that?
What was the company? Tell us.
The company was Electronic. The company, the first company was Newman Signs out of Jamestown, North Dakota.
And this was the specs on this were all inclusive bid. We're not. Was it piecemealed out, right? So.
Yeah.
So there should have been a...
Okay. The second one is from... that's the bond. Midwest Sales and Service Company for a total bid of $48,937.49. Third one is from Cornhusker State Industries. Once again, all priced out individually. I'll pass this down to the clerk. Maybe I'm missing it. Maybe you should look through it. But I think there are individuals there, too.
And you got this one.
Got the last one?
Yep.
Take a look. If we want to go ahead.
Take a look.
The third one is from All Roads Barricades Incorporated. A total bid of $43,972.41.
That was the fourth one, right?
Yep. That's the fourth one, yeah.
Fourth and last.
Oh.
too.
What's that? You got another one?
That one isn't added up either. That's just individual. It doesn't have a total.
Yeah. The All Roads Barricade. The All Roads Barricade Incorporated Traffic Control Sales and Services out of Lincoln, Nebraska.
So you had four?
Four total.
Can we deduct for having to do our own math? Bones is double checking here. So.
Did I miss it? Was it in there someplace?
I didn't see it on the last one.
All right. And this Matt also, I think Galen said shortly sometime we'll have to go out again and do the same study again. I think it's a yearly study that has to be done, so we'll have to go out again. I think shortly we'll probably and review it again. Hopefully the balance of the signs are in good condition, good shape. Won't warrant. I think this initial amount hopefully is the largest amount we're going to have. It's going to steadily decrease. So
quit shooting holes in them, Terry.
No. Yeah. Stop that road hunting.
Yes, let's do that.
It runs over them. I think that's it.
That too.
Get a different number.
Yeah, I got $100 off.
That looks like that's.
Yeah, it's right close. So
all right.
What's the difference?
Or the lower one. That's our discount for adding.
Okay. You like Kevin said, take the lower one. Look here.
That's right for us.
This is a quintessential close enough for government work, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's actually.
They take their bid bond amount. That's 5%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. So that well, this one, what Don came up with from Newman Signs, here's another one. Looks like it is going to be. At this point, it's.
Stop sitting here running that tape through. It's noisy.
$38,888.84.
Oh, this is all.
So.
Could you repeat that?
38888 84. 84. 38888 84.
50 cents off.
While we're just sitting here, I had talked to Galen this morning, something different, but about snow removal. He said, normal county procedure is, you know, the trucks are out well before 6 o'clock in the morning on a day like today when we've had a storm like we had, and we'll come in dark or as soon as they can after dark. You know, it's not really a policy. The road conditions out there in the county are a little different. In town, don't like to run at night with the trucks out there, so that's kind of the procedure so everybody knows. We'll be out or they'll be out, you know, well before 6 o'clock. Try to get everybody to work and then work all day long and then try not to make it a habit to do much after dark. Come back in with equipment and get it ready for the next day. So I think in talking with Galen also, probably quite a bit more snow in the southern end of the county than north, you know, the way it looks. So
thank you.
wonder how old that adding machine is.
I know, and it's the key's stiff.
At least she's not going.
Oh, I don't know. This one comes up 51,087.
Okay. This one from who was this? This was from the last one, Cornhusker State Industries, $51,087.70. $51,087.70.
Matt, also at the time when this study was done, Galen got an approximate bid at the time on these signs, or quote. So I put an approximate quote on these signs and know what he was dealing with. And at that time, I think he said he was if he remembers right, it was a little over $30,000 at the time, and that was in the fall or spring of last year. Is that correct, Galen?
Yeah, actually, $35,000, $3,000 or $4,000.
Okay. Like that, 7 years ago.
All right. Do these amounts match up with their bid bond? I think their bid bond times 20.
Here's this bid bond. What was it? Yeah. That's 20%.
There you go.
Make sure we're right.
Thanks for the help now.
They had to add it up.
We better do all that damn machine. No.
Close. So Newman would be $39,089. That's a number right there.
Yeah.
What's the, what was
the 39
name?
What?
I'm missing a number.
Yeah, you're missing a number.
$39,089.
$89, okay.
I'm not carrying decimals, so run it on.
Okay. I see.
Oh, okay. $39,000.
And $89.
$89.
Hey, Matt, why don't you let the road department go through the numbers and
verify those. Yeah. There's looks like there's a huge discrepency here between the high bid and the low bid.
Terry,
I'd like to make a motion to have the signed bid reviewed by the highway department and come back with a recommendation at next meeting in 2 weeks. We'll go through the numbers thoroughly and make sure we got it correct.
Moved by Jurgens.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Vote. 7-0. All right. We got, are some of them sitting there? Just don't have them all.
Thank you, ma'am. Oh, boy. Do I have to read this all at once?
We did do the 45. Here.
Didn't have anybody. Here,
put
them
in.
Yeah.
I'll learn sooner or later. I'll learn.
This is Cornhuskers. This is Midwest.
And you want to be careful because the next ticket that Mike's recommend might be you for not getting the trucks out, and he'll talk Gus into writing us, so you got to be a little careful about that.
That was Iowa, wasn't
it? Name and address for the record, sir.
Mark Minnelli, Lincoln, Nebraska. You ready? Set, go. You've all been given a copy, a working copy, for yourselves to go through at your leisure of this year's 1-6 plan. I want to take you through the manual real quick, and then we can talk about some specifics. If you open up your manuals, you'll see a Form 7 or a Form 11 in there. Form 11 corresponds with a map behind it, which I have a larger map here. That is the one-year plan from last year, and where we're at with those projects. We'll talk a little bit more about that shortly. Go past the next map, and you got a Form 8. That's this year's proposed one-year plan. The length of the projects, the estimate for the cost of the project, and general location general remarks. And then the six-year plan, and then the maps for the 1 and 6
are on are behind there. The red numbers on your map correspond with your one-year plan, and the black numbers correspond with the six-year plan. The rest of the book is the Form 7s, which are more descriptions about the projects, location, what's there, what we're doing in general, including the funding. And down in the lower right-hand corner is project number, and you can see the project number in the quotes that corresponds with your forms. So if you're wondering about a project, you look at your map, follow the leader, get the number, go back to the Form 7, and that tells you generally what we're looking at doing. Some of these aren't signed yet. Galen will go through and sign those once the hearing and you adopt these recommendations. The ones that are signed from the past, the dates of which those projects were initiated, we leave those signatures on there, so as time goes on, we can tell how old that project is. Some of them, you'll notice that there's a date programmed in the information box down at the bottom so that we can track long-term. If I know it was programmed 5 years ago, I'll put it on there so you can kind of keep track of how long these things are, as far back at least as our records go. So to go to the previous year plan, and this is in your packet. We've got the highlighted, and this corresponds with your maps, the orange projects are projects that we've completed phase four and are out of the system. The green items show delayed, but these are delayed but let. So these are our overlay projects, our armor coat projects, several culvert projects that we've got the culverts bought, purchased. So there's quite a few items that were on last year's one-year plan that came to this year's budgetary purposes, timing, et cetera. So we actually got quite a bit more in the mill and going to fruition. And these are all active projects and letter-ready. The other projects that are delayed for one reason or another, some of them were additional overlay projects that we were hoping for some funds for. Those are those projects, some of the Hickory Road segments, et cetera. So that's, I think we did a pretty good year. This year's going to be a real big year with last year's 1 and 6 plus what we've added. You go to your 1 and 6 map, the one with the two colored numbers, the red is the 1 year, the black is the 6 year. Here again, the green projects are the one-year projects that we've let, mostly culverts, armor coat, and overlays, the bond overlays. Most of the projects that were added this year were culverts for townships. So as you go through the numbers and you see the newer ones, the newer Form 7s down there, they're culvert sizings. So, of course, it's, 4 foot and less?
It's township.
Township. We size them, we're putting them on our one-year plan so that we can see where they're at. And then anything bigger than there we've have also on here for projects. We're moving forward. We spent a lot of time studying the long-term plans, the six-year plans, which is should be the county's long-term strategic plan for long-term budgeting. There's some projects that were on there for a long time that we removed from the six-year, and you can go back to the original map here, and you can see where some were moved from the one-year to the six-year, and some have been completely removed, and they were mostly small bridge projects or bridge projects that we've looked at the condition, and we, to be honest with you, we couldn't even tell why they were on there. I mean, eventually they needed to be on there, but to be more realistic, we've removed them from the plan. We'll get to them eventually. Our plan for this winter is we've developed a program to help us prioritize our bridge based on 13 criteria. And when we get that into the program, it'll give us a working tool that, based on those 13 criteria, we'll be able to have a working map to tell which projects, based on those criteria, are their number one, number two, number three priority, and we'll compare them to our 1 and 6 plan and see how we've been doing by just looking at it as a big picture. Some of those criteria are is the classification of the roads, arterial, collector, paved, unpaved, gravel, dirt roads, width of the road, is it posted, is it less than 10 tons, more than 10 tons, is it less than 20 feet wide, is it more than 20 feet wide, are the cars less than 50, 50 to 100, greater than 100, is it an emergency route, is it a route that the rural fire needs to have open, that it's, you get credit for that, is it a mail route? Mail route's not the mail carrier, but the truck that goes to the mail. Some counties, those mail trucks will actually take our arterial routes. And there's a total of 13 criteria that we put in there, and then we utilize that to see how we're doing. So that'll be coming to Road and Bridge sometime in the near future. Now, unless we have data on the less than 20 bridges, we can't do that. So first we'll look at the bigger bridges, and then we'll look at make a decision if we want to put the investment in collecting the data on the less than to help us prioritize all those million little bridges. So that'll be coming down, and that'll be available to everybody. We've been doing that in other counties, and it's really helping zero in on our bridge program. Other major projects, we're moving forward on the Hickory Road. We're in the process of, and we're about done redesigning to avoid the major utilities. Utility costs were going to be exorbitant, so we went back and looked at different design options to try to shift, move, come up with different design ideas to leave major poles in place. Road and Bridge has been updated on that, so we should be coming out of the gate fairly soon on getting approval to go after right-of-way acquisition on the Hickory Road segment. Overlay jobs, we got good prices. We've had three asphalt bids since Gage County, and Gage County is the envy of the state. I think our strategy was a good one. The last overlay project bid we had were $72 a ton, and we were $60 here. So we did good. Timing was good. The size of the job was good. The constituents of Gage County should be happy with the numbers they got. Next month, we've got the three-span deck slab bridge that for the bridge crew to build. We're going to bid materials. I believe we got permission to go to bid for those.
Yes.
Guys, okay, just remind me. So that'll be coming out. You'll be opening a package for bridge materials. We've got 1-3 span. We do have a 1-span bridge that's designed, but Road and Bridge wants to wait a little bit on bidding those materials just to see how the budget pans out. Help me out, guys. What am I missing? Armor coat. We had absolutely outstanding armor coat prices, so we got an opportunity to do more armor coat. I did some checking with some other counties that do their own. We're actually getting our armor coat done for the cost of other counties doing it in-house with their own labor. So had the contractor come down. Galen met with them just to make sure we're all on the same page. The guy's more than happy to do more, so we added 28 miles. So that's just helping our overall program. Road and Bridge has... the road testing reports, we've done three major segments. They've got two of the reports. The last report they'll have within a week or two, which will be all of the asphalt roads that we've drilled and tested, which gets us to about just under half of the miles, I believe. So Road and Bridge, you guys will have to tell me which segments of the roads we want to continue testing on. The ones that we marked way back when are those ones that are in those reports. So you guys will have that. Those reports, and then we'll use those for long-term planning. Of course, the bond and the armor coat covers a lot of those needs. Other than that,
our opening bids were with 19 culverts.
Culverts?
Those four.
It was four on the Wymore Liberty.
Oh, okay. The culverts on the overlay projects, there's two sets. One set was kind of straightforward culverts. They're in letting already. Their plans are done. There's another set of culverts. There's three of them. There's major degradation that have worked up to the outlet of the structure. In other words, the channel is dropped, and from the inlet to the outlet, there's a major difference in elevation, which we want to hold at bay so it doesn't work its way up into the ag fields. But as a result of that, we have to do something special with the headwalls, and Galen and I are in the process of trying to come up with a design that our staff can do comfortably on those, because they're not going to be the standard cookie-cutter deals. So those three culverts will be let as a separate package, and we need to set a time and get that design finished so we can make sure our staff can do that. I'd like to use concrete headwalls with some drop inlet aprons. I got to make sure our guys feel comfortable with that level, which they apparently don't have any issues with. So I know we've got a handful of other culverts that we've got sizes for townships that we'll give to Galen, and he orders those. Any other projects that you guys can think of? Philly North, it's on your agenda for approval of that contract. One of the things we did for Wymore, in Wymore, is the Department of Roads doesn't want to have winter works back, which means the contractor can work from the 1st of December to March and not get charged a working day because it's weather and you can move in and out and not be a problem. Well, the Roads Department wasn't going to grant it unless Manelli Wagner said, we won't charge anything more for that activity. In other words, if my guy's got to come down and not a whole lot's done, and we agreed to do that and signed that, and we'll have to do the same thing on the Philly North deal. Roads Department's concerned that if the guy's down here and he's just not getting a lot done, that there's additional cost because of the consulting fees, and we capped ourselves. We just said, we don't agree, we'll cap it. And that kept the Wymore job moving, and it got the Philly North job so that the guy can start early. So that's moving along, and utilities get moved, and that contractor's got a lot of work. So if we're lucky enough that they'll come in early like they're saying they want to, hopefully, knock on wood, we'll have that open for harvest and for the fall. Any questions? Am I missing any?
Let's keep telling them it's not going to be open that way. If it is, it's a plus.
It's not going to be open.
No, I'm joking. There's too many of them up there asking that question already. Yeah. I don't want to tell them we might have it open. Mark Minnelli said we might have it open.
Well, who's he?
Yeah. I want him calling Galen.
Galen, did I miss anything? Anything you can think about?
I think you pretty well covered everything.
Well, one thing I'd like to say, you know, in the last few years, the nice thing that Galen and Mark has done is they've prioritized these projects. They've said, this is your number one project, this is your number two, this is your number three, so it's pretty easy. It isn't saying we're going to do all this work in this area or this area. It's because of they've rated these projects as the worst to the next worst, just put it that way. So it's fairly easy for us to make a decision because Mark and Galen have studied this, and so we know where we need to go first, I guess, let's put it that way.
Actually, setting up a list of criteria of why we're reading, I think, is very, very good, Mark. Well, Galen came up with that, right? And
Galen and Deb, absolutely.
I kind of thought that was the case.
Well, Seward County did it 30 years ago, and because they were making political decisions way back then on who called. Now, Seward County is almost completely done with replacing all of their bridges in their county because of that program. They're still using that criteria, so it helps take the politics out of those. Now, I mean, you can't take it all the way out, but we just did it for Odo County. Odo County has 340 bridges. There's over 100 that are 10 tons or less. They got a real problem. They're really being aggressive about it, but it's so undaunting of where do you go next. Once we did that criteria to see where, you know, there's quite a few of them were in that top 50, but, I mean, it's amazing that it really helps pull out that guy that keeps calling you, and you think, okay, then it must be that priority. And it's a tool. It's a tool. So that'll help, I think, for Road and Bridge, and we'll get that done. So
I believe we'll have a public hearing at our next meeting and then approval, right?
We'll be approving the next meeting.
The 19th.
Well, any questions? It's easily changed. Additions, subtractions, you know, questions, just call me, Galen, whoever you want to talk to about your specific projects or why we did something, I mean, just let me know, and then it'll be ready for submittal at that point. I've been down here helping you guys for a couple of years now, and I think that you guys deserve a huge amount of credit because I think this program is really heading down a good path. I feel really good when I come down here just because we're all seem to be moving in the right direction. From the supervisors, the clerk's office is always very helpful. The road department, we're together. We're all focused. We're all heading down the same road, and I think you should be commended for it. It isn't that way everywhere. Gage County is really doing a good job on the infrastructure for these people and your constituents, so I just wanted to throw that out there. Any other questions?
Anything else? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Minnelli, sir. Thank you, Deb and Galen.
Next is approve or disapprove agreement number BK1407 between Gage County, Nebraska, and Manila Wagner Associates for construction engineering services on project BR32855. Control number 12300, Philly North, and having the chairperson sign the agreement. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
I make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. This is Terry.
This is the, and Mark alluded to it a little earlier, this is the Philly North project. This is just technically. He's the consultant's been there for a long time. I mean, been approved for a long time. So
maybe, but this has been approved by the state to have them
right,
and everything.
By the state.
And this is just
okay.
Signing the paperwork so that it's just like in the Wymore one. You were the construction engineer firm, and that's what this is here.
Yeah.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0. Next, to approve or disapprove resolution number 14-03 on signing of the construction engineering agreement BK1407.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
By Lytle. Discussion.
This is basically the same as the first thing we just voted on. I can't explain why it's done this way, but it's all the same project. It's the same thing. Maybe somebody could enlighten us on that.
The state always puts a resolution in the contract where the board is approving, the entire board's approving, not just the contract, but the entire the whole work and the contract, and that they're saying, yes, this is a go.
Okay.
So it's something that Don has to keep on file as a resolution, but the agreements, one goes back to the state, Don keeps one, we take a copy back to Minnelli, that the resolution is something that's on file for the whole board to approve. So.
Okay.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Vote. 7-0. Next, approve or disapprove Beatrice and Gage County's Mutual Road Agency Interlocal Agreement, and this is the item regarding the half-cent sales tax with the city. So I need a motion to approve or disapprove.
I would move to approve the interlocal agreement with the City of Beatrice.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. I'll just start off and say, Roger's seen it. There were a few small changes we pulled out. An engineering, it says we will offer the services of our county engineer. We will not have a county engineer, but obviously we'll have a highway superintendent. So some of that verbiage was in there. And Rogers, do you have any comments?
No, and I think we just changed. There was one other word, agency. We changed that. So, again, I would, from a legal standpoint, there's no problems.
No financial obligation on the county. We just will be part of their, what's the group of their committee to help their projects go through. But, again, there's no obligation to the county. They have to have an agency together in order to administer those funds. And then if for some reason the citizens of the Beatrice voted down, this is null and void. There's no such thing as this committee.
I'd just like to make a couple comments. I guess, number one, I'm not really in favor of new taxes, but the people are going to vote on it, just as people in the town are going to vote on it. But you know, road projects are being funded now by property taxes. At least this could be another avenue of a different group of people paying for some of the roads they use. So let's put it that way.
Good point.
Just want to echo what Terry said. He kind of beat me to the punch there. I really agree with him. I don't really look forward to new taxes, but I think this is a good opportunity for the city to take some dollars that aren't property tax dollars from the county and use it to better the infrastructure in the city and therefore the county also.
I'd just like to say I agree. I have no problem with the interlocal agreement. I think partnering with the city is a good idea. However, I'm not sure that the sales tax is a good idea. I think that there's a reason why you see a big ag dealer building at the Pickrell corner rather than on the north edge of Beatrice. And I think the half-cent sales tax will have a big, could have a big impact on people going out of town on large ticket items.
Myron, John.
I have a comment, but it's not, I agree that this what we're doing here is fine. But I thought maybe we'd have somebody from the city here because we could have a little fun. They have already approved it, right?
Yeah, I didn't think about that. We should have had them sitting here. We could have
negotiated a little bit at the last minute here or something.
We're way too easy going on this deal.
No, I know.
Tobias was going to be here.
No.
Turn Jurgens loose on him.
We could have turned Jurgens loose on him here at the last minute deal. We could have done some backroom dealing or something, you know?
He said it.
All right. No. Is that your campaign slogan?
No. Yeah.
All right. Any more discussion, questions? We have a motion and a second. Vote 7-0 to approve. Next, motion to approve or disapprove County Board 2014 committees.
I would so move to approve.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Second by Lytle. Discussion. And you'll see that there's no change for the sake of change. It's just keep everything the way it is. I think it's worked well, and I think that you, as we've gone through this last year, I think the relationships that we've developed with those agencies and the other elected officials, and you know how the road and bridge is working, is seems to be going down the right road. So unless there's a huge desire, but do things different, I would say we keep everything the same. Okay. I have a motion and a second. Vote 7-0. Next is just I wanted to have a discussion on changing the committee process. some of this we've talked about. I think the first couple years I was on the board, there was a discussion. And then I know when Terry and Myron and Kathy and Gary got on, I think there was a discussion about maybe looking at doing things a little bit different. And I think it's PC right now to have a meeting of the whole for whatever reason. And I think that our, you know, our system that we have works well most of the time. But, you know, to use some slang, I think there's a lot of turkey necking that goes on in those committee meetings where everyone sticks their head in, does a head count, and backs out because, oh, got a quorum, and it's just a little bit ridiculous. There's state law that dictates at this point that it's, you know, what makes up a committee is 2/3, but you know, we're not doing anything, or I don't think there's any covert effort to do anything underhanded or such, even though that allegation's been made. The door's always open. We've never kicked anybody out unless we're discussing things that we're allowed to in closed session. But I think that there is an opportunity, as we discuss some items in more depth, the conversations that take place here in this meeting are abridged at best. And there's, you know, Terry's very verbose, and I kind of pick on him a little bit, but you know, there's a lot of good conversation that takes place in a lot of the committees, and if there's an opportunity for everyone to be there and not have to do this turkey-necking thing to, you know, count heads and make sure that we're not in any sort of violation and create a format where people can come and you can sit in the committee and listen. I think one of the things we probably have done a poor job of outside of Myron, well, he's a great record keeper for Road and Bridge. He gets a nice detailed report there of minutes.
So I think that's probably one thing we could do better is to have minutes of these committee meetings. And so what I would propose is a discussion and maybe look to moving towards, if you look at what I created as a draft agenda. And I've shared this with Roger, and he's spoken with Dale Comer at the AG's office. So we try to do a little bit of background work on this to make sure that it's something we can do. We're not just creating some circus or whatever. But I'm proposing that we would have basically a boilerplate type agenda. And so obviously we would announce the Open Meetings Act. We would have to have, and I've talked to Dawn about this as well, have Dawn or her deputy in the room and open it up as a regular meeting. Now, we may or may not have a quorum. We're not taking any business. Doesn't matter. You know, but we open it as a public meeting. So if we do have a quorum that does show up, no harm, no foul, sit in and listen. I'm suggesting we have a committee statement format, and I'll just read it here. It says, no formal action will be taken, and as such, no quorum is required, and member attendance may fluctuate during this meeting and between committee meetings. This public meeting is for the purpose of discussion only. All items requiring formal county board action will be placed on the agenda of a regular meeting. At any time during this meeting, the board may adjourn into executive session, and I cite the state statute that allows us to do that. So, I mean, it may sound a little bit ridiculous, but I think if we kind of sets the ground rules for today, and a lot of this stuff is already in place. We already know this, but sometimes just stating it helps us to recall that. And when I say that the attendance may fluctuate from time to time, say it, you know, that John Hill decides to sleep in and he doesn't want to come at 8 o'clock in the morning for Road and Bridge, or he snowed in for whatever reason. Sorry, I pick on you, John. We can still open up the meeting, and if he shows up at 8:15 or 8:30, that's fine. If Gary shows up and Danny comes and brings donuts and wants to sit in and we've got 5 or 6 people here, that's fine. And we allow people to kind of come and go as a committee. We meet up on the fourth floor the way it is. I'm not suggesting we change the date. I'm not suggesting we change the time. We basically have it down here. We call it a public meeting and get rid of this, what I refer to as nonsensical turkey necking. Say it again. Peeking our heads in the room and walk in the room. Sit down and listen to the conversation. That's great. If you need something to offer, that's great as well. As far as I wouldn't suggest that we would have any timed events, if you will. You know, Road and Bridge will open up, and we'll kind of go through that process, and they'll start talking about Road and Bridge. Generally, we know meetings last about an hour, you know, and I think we try to keep those, and I think that's generally the rule of thumb that, you know, if you start meeting over an hour, you're kind of starting to burn the oil there, and you just need to maybe start to move on and wrap it up. So, and some of these committee meetings will go a lot faster, and some of them may not have anything to offer at that time. You just
okay, a question to interject right now. Yep. In finance, we meet, but then we have to deal with all of the county's bills. We have to approve every single one of them. How do we do that then?
Well, I've talked to Dawn about that because you mentioned that to me, I think, last week or the week before, and I think that's a good point. Do we go through the arduous process of reading every claim into the record? You know, Dawn gives us a copy of the proposed claims. We usually get them on a Friday or Saturday or something like that. I don't know when we check our emails. So we get those. Every board member has a copy of those. I would suggest in finance committee that if there's things that need a little more meat potato discussion, like, you know, of course, the word of today is your desks. So we're going to have a discussion about Roger's desks. But when it's time to go through the claims, which typically we have at least 2 people, you know, they could go through and 2 people could kind of sidebar, if you will, and kind of go through the claims and not make a concerted effort to have this formal process of reading the claims in. We publish these. We're not doing anything underhanded. It's there. When we approve the claims, they're there. And if there's something that needs to be pulled, say, if, because I see Gus and I'll kind of pick on him now, if Myron says, you know, I got this claim from the sheriff's office, I need to follow up with Gus about it. Pull off and talk to him separately. It doesn't have to be taking place here because that's the way the committees are typically functioning anyway. If there's something that needs to take place, again, I'm not suggesting a radical change in the discussions that take place, just the change in the venue and just open it up so that if we have more people that want to come, they can. I would say let's try it. I know I talked to Supervisor Juergens about it, and I said, yes, let's try March and April. Think about it for a couple weeks. We'll come back in 2 weeks. You know, think of the pitfalls that may be there, changing that, and then let's try it for a couple months. Again, the goal is not to create a circus. It's not to create chaos. It's to, you know, open it up so that we can hear more discussion, we can be involved. We still have a chairperson of each committee because, contrary to what some people would like us to think, there's a lot of work that goes on outside of these meetings, whether it's the committee meetings, the board meetings. You're making contacts. You're calling people. You're visiting with Davey. You're going to talk to Gus. You're going down at the highway department. You know, talking to Mark and, you know, having a meeting on the 911 stuff. You know, there's all those other meetings that take place that are outside of a formal committee meeting, but the committees try to bring those together. So it would be an effort to really put more of the minutes as to what we're discussing on the record, have an opportunity for more board members to be present. Under our current format, and I believe it's Senator Karpyshek is sponsoring a bill to change which Scott brought to my attention. Currently in state statute 23-277 describes the quorum as 2/3. Well, that's 4.62 if I do the math. And I remember when I first got on the board, first committee meeting, I walked into it, I thought, wait, we've got a voting majority here. This is weird. And I remember going up and talking with the former attorney, and he printed off the AG's opinion with there. And basically, I did the math, and 4.62, he said, you're fine. But I think everyone would kind of recognize it's a little bit weird that we're sitting there with a voting majority. Even though we're not taking a vote there, we always bring those things here. It is a little bit different. And so if this law passes, or the change, if you will, then our current committee structure, the way it is, would have to change. You could only have three people in the room, period. So, again, you get into that needing to rehash everything in a regular board meeting. And I'm saying, well, maybe that system doesn't work anymore. Maybe we need to – and that's the way it's always been. That committee structure, if I talked to Don, it's been that way for – ever, I think. So it's not something that we've done new or different or recent. It's just been that way. So I guess my suggestion would be if we can try this format, instead of on the fourth floor, we get to come to the second floor. Open it up as a public meeting. Don's going to be here. If we lose a quorum, doesn't matter. It's just an open meeting. People can come and go. We discuss things. Still go through the claims. I said, Gus and Denny and Terry want to go do the claims. They go over there and start going through the claims, and if there's something that needs to be pulled, that's fine. We can just meet down here as opposed to up there. And I don't think we need to make an overt effort to verbalize everything into the record because they're going to be there anyway when we submit them and we approve them. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. I'd like to give it a shot, see what we think, see if it works. And if it's too abrasive or creates too much controversy, we can always go back to the way we're doing it now, but we need to recognize that, currently our committee structure technically only has three people in it, but we encourage, or not encourage, but if that fourth person shows up, it's not in violation of the current state law, but it may be soon. And so we just need to know that you're going to have only three people can be in that room at a time. But there's a lot of good information that in some of these committees we're counting heads all the time. And dadgummit, it'd be nice to sit in there and just listen, have something to contribute. And we can't do that until it comes to the regular board meeting. That's my spiel, if you will. That would be my proposed draft and changing how we do committees.
So. I think it's important we relate to our constituents publicly as we're being transparent and as we're complying with the statutes of the state and federal government, which is extremely important, transparency. Be sure we have constituents that come to talk to us about issues that are pretty private, about situations. And we have those conversations and now have been able to bring those in our committee meetings for discussion. And we'd be sure to let our constituents know some of those things we might not be able to bring now unless it's absolutely right here in front of everybody. And so they understand it. So when we have a conversation, you're coming to me, but I might not be able to share that with the other supervisors if it's personal. So,
well, and that's where I put the statement in there, and I followed up with Roger that, we do have the ability, say, in Finance Committee, they need to talk about some claims issues on current, since we're self-funded, that'd be closed session because employees' names may get brought up. So, maybe a situation where I need to talk about this, and we'd have to ask everybody to clear the room. If Gus has a potential litigation issue or a security issue, so there might be a lot more of that. Where right now, it just takes place, and if someone is there, then we say, "Well, I got to leave for this." But other than that, that door is open up there. People come and go.
Yep.
But that would change that. You're exactly correct. And that we would have to do that, and there's absolute reasons why we have to do that, because we could actually get ourselves sued by saying something in open that we shouldn't, and we need to be sensitive to that. Well, it's not without some change in process, that's for sure.
My thought is that the current process is working well, and this kind of is a change for the sake of change or in response to Senator Karbachek's bill, which I'm not quite sure why it's out there, but... I certainly don't hear complaints about the process that's working, and I'm not one to change things unless it needs changed.
I would like to say I think this is a really good idea. I know that there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the committee meetings that because of the numbers, we can't all be present at, just like Friday, Monday. I had to, or somebody had to back off of a building and grounds meeting because it also involved law enforcement and because of overlap of committees that created too many there. And so I didn't come. And there's also like Road and Bridge. I know that there's a lot of discussion. And, well, one time I read it in the newspaper before I was notified of it. But I think it would be really helpful for the rest of us, even though we weren't actually participating, to be able to hear the discussions of the committee meetings.
We don't need a decision today. I mean, we just, you know, think about it. I'd like to come back in 2 weeks and... I think those are all good points. Yeah.
Do we need to vote on this in 2 weeks to change this, or just chairman change it? I mean, I don't know. I'm just asking.
Well, that's why I wanted to have it before we have our standing rules, because you know we may need to go back and push off our standing rules if we're going to do that. So if the discussion, I wanted to have this discussion and let us know that we may be coming back and modifying our standing rules, and we may have to do that mid-year anyway as we go through and we look at how the board functions if we do have a change in quorum, which. If that bill passes, it's not a big deal. It's not just going to affect us. I'm sure there's other counties out there too that that it'll change their quorum. So a board of five that'll change theirs too, because I think that puts them at 3-point-something.
Well, I think this bill just specifically dealt with the seven, didn't it, or does it deal with the counties that have five?
Well, the statement that I read is it's only about a 3 or 4 sentence a bill. It's 23277. It's from a quorum of 2/3 to a voting majority.
It's counties with township structures.
Right.
So I think there's like 27 or something.
Yeah.
The senator said.
And those are all the 7-member boards.
I think so.
Yeah.
And that would be,
It won't have to be, but they can be.
Yeah. And I know just the way that the current county is structured with representation in the rural areas. Right now, we've got 4 supervisors that service primarily the rural areas. And I know I don't want to miss very many of those road and bridge meetings. I got a lot to discuss. Well, that all stops now. Careful which finger I put down.
Yeah.
Eventually if that goes through, that'll stop. And so then those discussions, I know if I as chairman stay off, at least for this year, if I stay on those committees, I'm going to make you rehash it all because there's probably things I have to, or I have to go to Mr. Juergens and say, well, okay, now I need to talk about my district. And so there's some of that from time to time that, may need to modify. But, we can be creative. We can do those and still be within the confines of the law.
In my view, this is really the beautiful thing of this is that we can continue to do things the way we're doing them now. We just do it in a different venue, and it seems to open it up a little bit more. Here's another open meeting that people are going to be invited into. We have an opportunity to have 7 voices in the room at a time and be able to discuss things more openly. I guess to me it just makes sense to go ahead and do this. We can start at 7:00 with the law enforcement like we always have. We can roll through that. We can start at 7:00 with law enforcement like we always have, and we can get Gus and Mark out of here and get them back to work so they can do their things, and we can just roll on, and if anybody wants to be here to be in on the part of the discussion, we can be here. That way, like Road and Bridge, which is a big percentage of what our jobs are, there's 3 of us here that would be able to come and sit in and have a voice and be able to hear what's going on. That way, when we're asked what's going on out and around the county, we can say, "Oh yeah, we are having this discussion on this, and that's why we're doing it this way." And it's coming, but it's down the road, and we'll know that. You know, because as good a job as Terry does, and as all of us try and do on committees at relaying that to everybody else, sometimes it just you can't tell every little bit that's in there. And I think this, you know, I can see where, you know, it might not change. You know, the seven people aren't probably going to be there all the time. You know, but it gives us that opportunity. I think it's a real good thing.
So think about it. We'll come back in a couple weeks. I know, again, I've had some discussions with Roger to make sure that we're doing things correct. And, again, I appreciate him making the call up there, the AG's office.
Basically, just your notice requirements, your agenda, and your minutes. A lot of you do that already, but, you know, it's going to be a little more formal for the clerk. But other than that, you know, other than the length of the meeting, personal privilege may come up a lot more.
What's that?
Personal privilege may come up a lot more.
Well, and that's, you know, part of it too is supervisors are basically here the whole time anyway. But you don't have to be. Again, you can come and go, because I know that was the question. Well, what if you lose your quorum? We're not taking any action. So what if we lose our quorum? It protects us that if we do have a quorum, to make sure that we're, you know, don't do anything in violation. So. Well, think about it. We'll come in a couple of weeks, and I guess what we'll do is we'll hold off on doing anything with the standing rules. We can continue to operate the way they are, and if we should come back, then we can modify those as well. But I haven't had any phone calls or anything about changing the standing rules, so we can reaffirm those. Yes, sir.
But the way this stands now, you'd like to start the first meeting in March, have a committee meeting of the whole, kind of the whole, instead of the others. So that's, yeah. And
that's
next,
what I would propose.
Next meeting, we'll make a decision on it. Our
yes,
next
correct.
Meeting.
Okay. Yeah, good. And I know with Supervisor Juergens, he and I talked, give it a try. If we fall flat on our face and it just seems to prevent the way things are working, that is not the point. It isn't to impede the way that we're doing things. We want to continue to chug forward. If it doesn't work,
he can't come in with his coverall because he'll be on camera.
That's what bothers me.
Yes.
So, all right.
And then he always has a suit and tie on anyway, so him it doesn't matter, you know.
You guys need. I'll go get some coveralls and I'll wear coveralls. If it makes you feel better, I'll wear coveralls too.
I've got some bibs at home. I've got them on.
I see a new dress code we may have to put in here. Coveralls. And
yeah.
Bibs.
Coverall acceptable.
Yeah. The only other thing that I want to throw out there one more time is giving evening meetings a try, and I think that the meeting of a whole would be a good place to give that a try also.
How early would you start, and how late would you get done?
Well, you could start at 6 o'clock, and you could be done by 10.
Or midnight.
Well, possibly. Well, but how often do the meetings run?
Right.
5 hours, 6 hours.
A lot of them run past 4.
The only drawback I can see to that is the courthouse would be open.
Yep.
You know,
at night.
All hours of the night. I mean, security could be an issue. Yep.
I still have to be here no matter what. That's basically why I'm here every time. Unless I'm on the agenda, it's for security purposes. So if you opt to try that sometime down the road, just like if we start at 7 with us on regular board meeting days, we'll still have somebody here. So.
The other option to that we could solve that problem is that we convene it at the public library.
At night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you don't have the courthouse open. That takes care of that problem.
We don't have our tape in our camera system.
We'll survive.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll come back in a couple weeks. All right. All right, so thank you for the good discussion. I appreciate that. We'll take no action on the standing rules at this point. need a motion to approve or disapprove certification of a local government approval for nonprofit organizations receiving ESG funds for state subrecipients for shelter activities. That's a mouthful.
I would move to approve.
Moved by Dan.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
What is it?
Yeah. Where did this come from?
This is a certification on local government approval from a committee of the Blue Valley Community Action, their emergency shelter committee. Meet on a regular basis, and they develop shelters and areas where people who have needs are approved, and so, and the dollars that are spent. And whether we like it, unfortunately, or not, we do have situations where we have families and individuals where that problem develops and needs to be have somebody who can take action, and this assists them in doing that.
Awesome. Thank you. I've got we approved an agreement a couple months ago allowing the use of the permanent shelters here, but there was some change where now the county has to say, even though we really don't have anything to do with it, but if they house somebody in a motel within the county has to agree to, I mean, we're not paying the bill, we're not being liable, but it's just something we have to say that we know there may be some people housed in motels.
We approve it.
We're just looking at the form here. There needs to be a name of an official duly authorized to act on behalf of Gates County approve the following shelter activities. So I guess what you're going to do is you're going to authorize me to approve. I'm not going to do any work for them.
Well, I sit on that committee now. I sit on that committee now, but either Kathy or she is our representative on BVCA, but because I was on BVCA and I've stayed on this committee that does the recommendations and approves the budget. And the
We'll put Denny in there. Okay. All right. Good. Well, I wanted to make sure we clarified that. All right. Any more discussion? Vote 7-0 to approve. Anything else? Our last thing is going to be a closed session to discuss litigation. Nothing else? All right. Need a motion to go into closed session. Necessary for the protection of the public interest or the protection of needless injury to the reputation of the individual.
I would move if we go into closed session.
24/7 by Danny.
Change your hours.
Second.
By Seth. For
God's sakes, Don.
7-0.
Even though our attorneys dress without ties and jeans and.
I'll go give him a little tutorial.
Need a motion to come out of closed session at 11:18.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Dorn. Just vote. 7-0. All right, anything else? I think we covered everything, gone through the agenda. See y'all in 2 weeks. And then committee meetings again will be on Friday the
14th.
On Valentine's Day.
While Denny is taking his wife out to the best restaurant in the United States.
That's right.
Industry.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, you three. Y'all, there's two sheets y'all need to sign. All right. We'll stand adjourned at 11:19.
She pays for it.